Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the annual results for Sunrise Communications. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 20th of March, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Uli Schiller. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello and welcome to Sunrise Communications Holdings annual financial investor call. With me today on the call, we have Libor von China, CEO, André Krause, CFO, and Tim Degenhardt, Chief Marketing Officer, and also Roger Schaller from our Corporate Communications Department. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Libor, who talks you through to some of the updates for 2013, followed by André with a financial update and some updates on marketing and operations from Tim. Libor?
Thank you, Uwe. Welcome, everybody. Let me just give you a quick snapshot on 2013, which was a challenging year for us, and it was a year where we focused on and making investments across the board. And you know, we are proud of the achievements that we achieved in the last 12 months, and I would just like to summarize some of the key milestones of 2013. The first one was the step up in management capabilities and depth of experience. It's really referring to the number of new members where we strengthened the management team and you know, gotten a breadth of industry as well as specific telco experience that has helped us speed up a number of projects that we will now talk about. The first big one was the considerable investments in the telecom networks part. We have both invested, and you'll see the details later with André on the amounts, but we've invested a lot in our mobile network, in the capacity of it, the speed and the quality. And next to that, we have also worked on further improving our relationship with our network partner, Huawei, that has also yielded results, as you will see later in the presentation. The other big investment area was customer care, where we've been focusing on improving the quality of service and also in just improving also the scale of the customer care in order to make sure that we can provide a good, reliable service also on the interaction times with our customers. We've also implemented a tool, Net Promoter Score, to strengthen the customer focus across the board, and we have been able to demonstrate improvements across all the major touch points during the 2013. Last but not least, we've continued on the path of innovation. Sunrise has been an innovator on the Swiss market, and we have strengthened that with the new pipeline of products and services of relevant innovation for the customers and to further strengthen our brand positioning of fairness, transparency, and customer focus. So with that, let me turn to the next page and just go through the results of some of very focused investments that we have done in you know, previous years, being 2013 being a big investment, a ramp up of I think 25% volume wise in terms of invested amounts in our network and infrastructure. On the mobile network, we have been able to demonstrate the improvements through the independent Connect test in the last quarter of 2013, where Sunrise has been the biggest improvement, demonstrated the biggest improvement in the quality across the board, so showing you know, a comparable network to the competition, and actually in many points even demonstrating a leadership like in the cities on the voice side and the data speeds. Next to that, we have implemented the Net Promoter Score as a tool to help us further increase customer focus. And while we've improved across all the touch points, the two that you see here that are very relevant in terms of our services is the contact center improvement of 14 points throughout the year and the improvements in the Sunrise shops, as we know that our shops are not only the selling points but also the points where we support our customers. And last but not least, we have increased more than 25% the resources in customer care between us and our outsourced partners that we have in this area, and that has helped us catch up with the quality of service that was lagging behind on the past year's customer growth has not been matched in the investment in the customer care, and we have caught up on that, improved for 13 percentage points our accessibility, and even more the service levels. So on back of that, focus on the customer care, it has helped us also strengthen our market position, our attractiveness of our offers, and we have increased our marketing especially in the last quarter of 2013, and that has yielded a increased postpaid mobile subscriber base of more than 25,000 in Q4, and basically throughout last year almost doubling the subscriber base of IPTV. If you turn to the next page, where we just summarize some of the key product innovations that have been done in the direction of increasing transparency, fairness, and the customer orientation, and strengthening our position of best value for money player when giving you the best convergence experience in the Swiss market. We have added and extended we were the first one in Swiss market to do the Comeback TV. We have extended that offer last year from 1 to 7 days and added a recommendation engine to help you sort out through the the big amount of data that now becomes available to you through the Comeback TV. We have added MTV Mobile and MTV Home offers, strengthening our positioning in the youth segment. Continue to invest and roll out the LTE network, as well as fiber connections to the end customers. We even did in January the first live demonstration in Switzerland of LTE Advanced, which allows us, due to a relationship with Huawei, being an advanced supplier on the mobile network side. We've added the Sunrise Indoor Box to our customers, which is a femtocell helping to extend the indoor coverage. The beginning of the year, we've strengthened our data roaming travel packs, both from a pricing point of view as well as user friendliness. And last but not least, announced in the beginning of this year that next quarter we are launching Sunrise Freedom, which Tim will speak more about it later on in the presentation. So with that, I would like to ask Andre to go into the 2013 financials.
Yeah, thanks, Libor, and good afternoon to everybody also from my side. 2013 was clearly a year where Sunrise has operated in a more challenging market environment. Nevertheless, we feel that the financial results that we are presenting to you today are really quite strong. With that, let's move to slide number 8, where you find the key financial figures. If we start with the revenue line, we have actually really provided a lot more value to our customers and have gone through a couple of price reductions in 2012 and a couple of smaller ones also in 2013. If we look at the result of that at the end, we are turning out in revenues 2.2 percentage points lower than the previous year, which is effectively a reduction of 45 million. And if you take into consideration also the acquisition of Lebara and Ortel in the middle of 2013 and look at the organic revenues only, that even would have been a decline of 3.5% or 71 million equivalent. So there is quite a substantial top-line pressure that we were facing as a business. And the largest part of that was really driven by the postpaid migrations onto the new price plans that we have given to our customers. On the back of that attractive offers that we have positioned in the market, we were at the same time able to continue our valuable postpaid customer growth. For the full year, we achieved net additions of 76,900. For the fourth quarter alone, the number was 25,100, which is a quite strong fourth quarter, quite an uptake compared to what we have seen in the previous years. And I think it's also reflecting from a timing perspective that many of the initiatives that Libor was describing to you earlier are really paying off towards the market and are actually getting a positive recognition from the customers that are actually joining us. As a side note, I would also like to mention, because the migration of customers had a big impact, by the time we are speaking, more than 80% of our postpaid subscriber base have already been migrated or have been migrating to the new price plans. So from that perspective views, there's less to come, so to say. We have by far seen the vast of the impact already. Now looking at the bottom line, our recurring EBITDA turned out at 620 million, which is a reduction compared to prior year of 0.6%, which I would clearly see as pretty stable in the light of the top line pressure that you can see. And even if you go to the fourth quarter stand alone, that would have been an increase of 3.2% compared to the fourth quarter in 2012. The fourth quarter alone was driving an EBITDA of 150 million, and I think the trend that you can read out of that, and you will see some more details on the later slides, is clearly showing that we have also made quite some countermeasures in order to drive a good financial performance for the year. One of the key drivers, and more on the next page as well, was actually a reduction on our acquisition and retention costs by 17%, and also the restructuring activities that we have implemented at the end of 2012 already. Very important, Libor mentioned the number already. We have increased our CapEx investments by 25% to a level of 281 million. You will see some more details later on, but it's really geared towards building the right infrastructure for our customers, ensuring a great customer experience with the right blend of technologies that really allows us to grow our customer base going forward. And lastly, and also very important for us, of course, we have seen a quite strong operating free cash flow from our perspective. We turned out with an operating free cash flow of 399 million, which is an increase of 8.2% compared to prior year, and also the liquidity position at the end of the year with 149 million cash at hand was quite strong again. So all in all, we do believe quite a strong set of financials. Now moving to slide number nine. I want to give you a little bit of light of how the numbers actually have come into place, and of course the obvious question is how have we offset the top line pressure and resulting into a flattish EBITDA performance for the year. And on the slide you see on the left-hand side the development through the different quarters. Starting from the top, you see always what was the gross profit pressure that was resulting from the reduced revenues. And you see the development of that figure coming from 13.3 million in the first quarter, then accelerating to peaking in the third quarter at minus 15.8. and then in the fourth quarter again lowering down to 13.7 million. The trend change actually in the fourth quarter is also from our point of view clearly a turning point of that we have seen the worst, so to say, from that perspective of having that migration impact on our customer base. And there the fourth quarter is clearly marking the turning point in that respect. Nevertheless, of course, until this will actually go to zero, it will take quite a while more. Nevertheless, it will reduce in terms of impact on the numbers. We have been able to offset a large part of these costs in gross profit reductions in the first quarter already, and we were able to accelerate our cost improvements in the third to the fourth quarter as well. I mentioned already the biggest impact were coming from the restructuring that we were doing at the end of 2012, but also the reduced acquisition and retention costs. And I think those who are continuously participating in these calls recall the theme that we were giving you again and again. So you see it is pretty stable and is reoccurring in all of the quarters. And that is then leading also to an EBITDA performance, which in the first quarter compared to the prior year was negative with 10 million. But then thereafter actually was always positive in all of the quarters. So from Q2 onwards, actually the EBITDA performance was positive compared to the prior years. Importantly, we also have put in here our mobile postpaid net additions for every quarter, because one could, of course, argue if the cost improvements on the second SRC would be simple volume-driven, that would have a negative impact on the business. As a matter of fact, that is not the case. You see that in all of the quarters, we have seen quite strong net add uptake, always higher than 15,000 in the second quarter, even 20,000, and peaking in the fourth quarter. And as I said, clearly the fourth quarter, from our perspective, benefiting a lot from the already implemented initiatives that Libor was mentioning. So really, we are seeing the recognition coming back from the market on the activities that we were driving. With that, moving on to our subscriber figures on the mobile side on slide number 10. On the left-hand side, you see the development of the subscriber base with an ending base of 2,491,000 subscribers, of which 1.258 million are postpaid and 1.233 are prepaid. On the prepaid side, you see the jump of the subscriber base by more than 330,000 in the third quarter, driven by the acquisition of Lebara and Orte, and thereafter running pretty flat. As a matter of fact, also on the prepaid side, we see a continuation of the trend of prepaid customers moving on to the postpaid side, which leads to a customer base decline on the prepaid, not only for us, but also for the rest of the Swiss market. And I think the Swiss market is not alone in this. This is also, I think, a trend that you can see throughout all of the markets in Europe. On the postpaid side, we continuously were adding customers. You've seen the net add figures before. So I think that is displaying quite a strong performance in this regard. Moving on to the right-hand side, where you see the blended ARPU of the customer base. Here, the decline is driven by two major factors. One factor is, of course, the better value, i.e. lower prices that we are giving to our customers, having an impact on the ARPUs. But also to a quite large extent, also the larger prepaid customer base, which drives a dilutionary effect as the prepaid customers on average are driving lower ARPUs. You also see that the composition of these two effects was from the prepaid dilution, roughly 32% were actually coming in the fourth quarter from the prepaid dilution. Moving on to the next slide, we have done that in the prior quarters and we will continue to do that to give you a pro forma view on our prepaid customer base on a 12-month definition. As you know, our competitors are sticking to the 12-month definition, so in this counting method, our prepaid subscriber base would have been at the end of the year 2,016,000. If we then look at the market share in terms of subscribers for the third quarter that would have driven a market share for Sunrise of 27.6% in terms of subscribers. We will give you an update on the fourth quarter next time. By today, we have not seen all of the competitor numbers, so we are not able to calculate the figure for the fourth quarter, but we will update this one next time for sure. Now, moving on to the fixed line business. On the one hand, on the left-hand side, you see the subscriber base development, which has a positive and a negative. The positive is clearly the good trend and continued development on the TV subscriber growth. We are ending the year with a TV subscriber base of 74,000, which is almost double than the amount of customers we had at the end of last year. So I think that is showing a nice and continued good trend. One could argue it's still not massive, but you also need to bear in mind adding more than 35,000 customers in a year requires also to have almost 3,000 additions per month, and that is also quite an operational challenge as this process is quite a difficult one. So from that end viewed, I think we are seeing good growth. And on the other hand side, we, of course, want to accelerate and to improve that performance going forward. Looking at the 2P subscriber base, so the overall number that you see here, we do see a negative trend continued, not massively, but still we have not been able with our 2P products to fully turn around that picture. We are continuing, of course, to working on that, and we think we have some more things for 2014 to change that picture, but that will be a theme of the future. Looking at the right-hand side, and the ARPUs generated by our fixed-line customers, there we have a positive development on both on the 2P side and also on the TV side, including the internet part. Both ARPUs are actually growing. Looking at the 2P alone here, clearly the key driver is customers are going for more bandwidth and thus paying higher prices, driving up the ARPUs. On the TV side, again, the addition of TV customers and the higher ARPU that we are generating with those customers is also helping the blended number to go up. So from a value perspective, I think we are on a quite good path on this in this respect. Now, moving to slide number 13, again, in the usual format, you see the financial details. I do not intend to go through that, but of course, I think it's a good summary for your reference, and happy to take any Q&A after the presentation, if you wish so. Then, moving on to the next slide on the CapEx breakdown. Again, we mentioned the strong increase of 25% to 281 million. I think we want to give you a little bit more light on the composition of where we have invested this money. The largest part, no big surprise, is actually running into the mobile network enhancements. Tim will give you a little bit more flavor of what we're doing here. Again, it is really, we are convinced that it's of utmost importance for being successful in the Swiss market to provide a real strong infrastructure to customers. And in this respect, we think investing into the right blend of technologies and also spectrums is yielding the right results. Libor mentioned already the Connect test result from end of last year. I think that is a strong recognition of the effort we have taken here. So I think we're on the right path with that investment. Additionally, we also continue to invest into our fixed line infrastructure and a smaller number, but also very important, the 27 million we are investing into IT. IT is not only a backbone infrastructure, but it's also very important and crucial at our customer touch points, as the abilities of the IT systems are very much important to the quality of service that we can deliver to our customers. So also this investment is a very important one. With that, moving to slide number 15, giving you an update on our debt position and leverage ratios. on the 31st of December. So you see the total debt number at 2,418,000,000. You see the cash position at 149,000,000, leading to a net debt of 2,269,000,000. And then looking at the net debt per EBITDA leverage ratio, that would turn out at 3.6 times. Also, for your notice, if we would include that on an MCIG level, also the PIC-toggle notes that we have issued last year, that would drive a leverage ratio of 4.7 times. Because I think also interesting and important for many of you, the development of the net income basket. The balance, again, has increased year on year to a level of 44.7 million. So I think also on that end, a good development supporting the interest payments. With that, let me summarize very quickly again. In a very much more challenging market environment, Sunrise has actually upheld his attacker position by providing more value to our customers. On the back of that, we have continued our good subscriber growth. We have further invested into our infrastructure, and at the end, we're, as we believe, delivering a strong set of financials. With that, I would like to hand over to Tim to give you some updates on some of our marketing efforts.
Thank you, André, and good afternoon to all of you. Sustainable growth in telco in Switzerland can pretty much only be done on the back of a solid network performance as well as good customer operations, customer service levels. When you add to that relevant innovations and a value for money positioning, you get a formula that will be a formula for sustainable growth for Sunrise. That's what I'd like to go through with you quickly for the next couple of slides. I will want to start on the network, page 18. So when we come to our mobile network, page 17. When we come to our mobile network, we're focusing on the best blend of technologies. What do we mean with that? Best blend means we need to have both population coverage. We can achieve that with our low frequency bands, 800, 900 megahertz. Of which we've got spectrum second to none. We also need to get speed and capacity. For that, we're rolling out LTE. Our pop coverage on LTE will be about 85% by the end of 2014. Importantly, the low frequency bands give us strong indoor, deep indoor coverage, which is something which in Switzerland is extremely important and also allows us to build out efficiently our network in the more rural areas. And on top of that, we have, with the introduction of femtocell's indoor box as of the end of January, added a fourth dimension to our best blend of technologies network mix. And that allows specifically in Switzerland, as some of the buildings are quite solidly built, allows our customers to have excellent coverage also inside their home. When it comes to network innovation, we were also the first to show a demonstration, a live demonstration of LTE Advanced. We did that during our Innovation Day at the end of January. We will be launching this commercially in the third quarter at the same time as handsets and devices will be available in the market. We're in a good position here with our technology partner Huawei to be able to actually provide that solution already now. And this will also clearly be a solution for capacity requirements in the future. Third point, on the fixed side, through our partnership with Swiss FiberNet, we are able to penetrate about 500,000 households as market potential with fiber already in the year 2013. We expect that to go up to about 1.4 million households at the end of 2020. The partnership with SFN allows us to use standardized products and processes and to work through all the utility partners that are connected to Swiss FiberNet, which is a very effective way of reaching our customers with a FTTH connection. So all in all, our network strategy is a combination of efficient rollout on the mobile side, leveraging our spectrum as well as the effective use of infrastructure that is being built up by our partners. When it comes to efficiency, you can go please to the next slide, slide 18. This relates now to our operations, also working on the efficiency of our operations. We have decided to implement closed-loop feedback in our customer service operations. We use the NPS, Net Promoter Score, metric to do that. Essentially, instead of using market research techniques like usual questionnaires, we ask the customer one simple question, which is how likely the customer is to recommend Sunrise to friends and family on a scale from 0 to 10. What we then do is the people that give us 9 or 10 are so-called promoters, 7 and 8 are passives, and 0 to 6 on that scale are so-called detractors. What we do then is we actually engage in a conversation with those customers, both the ones giving us very high scores as well as the ones giving us lower scores, to understand exactly how we can improve our services. That feedback goes into what we call inner and outer circle, the inner circle focusing on the personal interaction of the employee with the customer, be that in a shop, at the call center, a technician, or any other interaction that we have with the customer. And on the other hand, the outer circle improvements which relate to our products and processes. What you can see as a result on the lower side of the page, since the implementation, we have already received more than 100,000 feedbacks in the last 6 months. On the back of that, we've made over 20,000 callbacks and have been able to translate the learning into much improved performance in our customer operations. And to the right of that, you see the chart depicting the percentage of promoters versus detractors for our Sunrise stores, 94 stores, where you can see a marked improvement throughout the year up until March 2014. It's also important to note is that we have NPS-linked bonus and incentive schemes for all employees as of the year 2014. On the next page, page 19, what are we doing more concretely in the operations? There are three components that really drive satisfaction within operations. The first one is accessibility, second one solving rate, and third one promise kept. We've made a commitment that we will start to publish our performance on those dimensions as of the second quarter. The first of those is already publicly available, which is accessibility. Basically, if you have an issue with Sunrise, then we must make sure that you can rapidly and readily reach us, also consistently reach us. This is what we mean with accessibility. Through the increase in capacity that Lieber has referred to of about 25% during the course of 2013, we have now been able to reach about 94% accessibility on a consistent basis. The second KPI that we look at is the so-called solving rate, i.e. when you are able to reach us, then we should be able to resolve your issue within the first contact. It's also called first contact resolution rate. We are seeing very strong improvements already in this metric also, and we will make this publicly available as of the second quarter. And the third one relates to an issue where we cannot resolve it at the first contact. And should we not be able to resolve an issue at the first contact, then we make a commitment to the customer to get back to him or her as quickly as possible with a resolution. And that's what we call promise kept. And we will measure our organization ability to get back to our customers with the right solution as quickly as possible. It's a bit of a new call center metric that we're implementing here, and we're preparing that for about the end of the second quarter, beginning of third quarter. Having made these improvements and continue to focus on these improvements, we have also in parallel then filled up our product pipeline to start being more aggressive on the market again. Libo has already referred to 7-day Comeback TV, which we launched at the, in autumn 2013. In January 2014 and February 2014, we launched first MTV Home and then MTV Mobile, a completely new tariff program for young people in Switzerland. Young means everyone below 30 for us. We've been able to include some innovation here with a cooperation with WhatsApp, as well as an exclusive cooperation with SBB. These are the Swiss federal railways. This cooperation will start also soon in form as an option where we will actually be able to provide to the customer the so-called Halbtax, which means that the customer pays only half the fare as part of the subscription. So we see already strong traction on this portfolio, both on the home side as well as on the mobile side. We have added at the same time a new approach to roaming as well as international calls. That's what we call relaxed abroad. Our Sunrise Travel Pack have been rated quite positively also by the press, both in terms of pricing as well as in terms of user experience. We believe user experience is critical in the uptake of data, specifically when you're roaming. We're the only one who offers a travel pack cockpit that you can access also from your home country. As well, we are very competitively priced across the whole range, and we offer actually an entry in data roaming at the lowest price, so we believe we continue to be very well positioned here. In addition, we have launched so-called My Country Flat options with which you can call from Switzerland into 8 countries around Switzerland for a flat rate of 15 Swiss francs, both to the mobile as well as to the fixed line, and we can see that this is also a strong value proposition and that is being taken up quite nicely. With the next one, we have also changed the way that we will charge for data, knowing that data will be our way to monetize in the future. We have chosen an innovative way of charging for data. We will allow our customers to have full speed on their mobile in every tariff, and as well we will be protecting them from bill shock, which is the other component that customers need to know in order to adopt data services. Lastly, we will be launching in Q2 our new Sunrise Freedom proposition, where we will be making transparent the tariff part from the hardware part, and we will have as an innovation in Switzerland, a tariff system whereby you can switch from one tariff to the other easily and rapidly, and we will also abolish long-term contracts, which is really what the customer has been waiting and asking for. With that, I would like to finish this update on operations and marketing and hand over to Uwe Schiller for Q&A.
Yeah, with this we start the Q&A process. Operator, may I ask you to moderate the Q&A process, please? Operator?
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Vivek Khanna of Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Listen, I just have one question, if I may, just on the ARPU development. Clearly, you've been very kind to provide us a data point to let us know how many of your customers have already migrated to your new plans. So clearly, some of the headwinds which we should face next year with regards to that migration should be largely behind us. I guess my question is more, since we are looking sort of at a blended ARPU, we've always also had the impact from the Lebara acquisition, and that also has been very well documented. I guess the question I have is the one third thing that is potentially going to impact ARPU next year is a little bit of a change in mix to understand within the contract customer base, you know, what percentage or what portion of your net additions are not smartphones but rather more tablets and iPads and other devices. Just to figure out, just to get some color as to, you know, what percentage of additions are related to those sort of services, or what percentage of the overall base is related to those services, just so that we can understand how the ARPU will be impacted as that penetration increases. If there's any, I appreciate you haven't disclosed this, but if you could provide us some sort of, you know, high level color, that would be very much appreciated.
Well, Vivek, as you already figured out, we haven't disclosed it, so I will also not disclose it right now. What I can ensure, nevertheless, is this is not the driving force behind the net additions that you do see. They are a proportion of it, but they are by far not the key driver of the numbers. So if the concern behind your question is that the apps you could further dilute because it's driven by lower value iPads or whatever devices, then that is actually not the case. And also what I'd like to mention is that what we see on this product that we are having is also that the ARPUs are not necessarily low, but in many instances are also pretty high. So if your concern behind the question was that this should actually drive a stronger dilution, then we clearly can say that this is not the case.
So clearly ARPU levels next year are going to be materially better than the trends that we've seen this year. Or rather, 2014 will be better than what we've materially better than what we've seen in 2013.
We're not giving a forward-looking statement on that one, but you've seen the underlying dynamics, so you can create your own picture on that one.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Jainant Kandala. Please ask your question.
Hi. I just had a couple of quick questions. Firstly, thanks for providing the detailed color on the various prepaid and postpaid subscriber breakup as well as other stuff. My quick question would be basically that as you move in 2014 with all the migration behind you, could you probably throw a bit of color on if you're going to see any continued price pressures which could impact revenues and ARPU simultaneously?
Well, so we don't have a crystal ball, so I can't really tell how the market will evolve in 2014. Nevertheless, from the dynamics that we have recently observed in the market, the price levels have been pretty stable. So from that end viewed, we are not anticipating bigger moves. Many of you do know that we probably will see Cablecom launching a mobile offer sometime soon, although it has been postponed again and again. Nevertheless, we are anticipating that to happen sometime, whatever, second quarter, third quarter. We are not anticipating that to be a market-moving event, as we are expecting that Cablecom will follow Liberty's general strategy of using mobile as a defensive tool rather than an aggressive attacker tool. So from that end viewed, given the current market development and also given the, let's say, advent of Cablecom coming to the market and the uncertainties on that one, we would not foresee substantial pricing moves from that end.
Right, that's helpful. Just a quick question on the report. Actually, I was just trying to go through the factors which you kindly provided in terms of what will affect the landline services. As I just go through the table, I kind of note that if I exclude the LLU impact, basically the retail voice was in fact a positive 5% growth in terms of the subscriber base. So, I mean, could you probably throw a bit of light, because as I read the text underneath, it's not perfectly clear in terms of what how this is going to look going forward. I mean, do we see this ratio, the decline or the decline in LLU being arrested, or is it going to continue considerably going into 2014?
I mean, if I understand your question correctly, you're asking the what is the driving the development on LLU customer base in the internet? part. And the main effect behind this one is that we use different technologies. We use on one hand ULL technologies, but we're also using VDSL technologies, especially for higher bandwidths and TV. And if we have a ULL customer who moves on to a higher value product such as TV, he's migrated back to a BBCS product. And therefore, the LLU base will decrease with actually the impact of TV and mid and long term also fiber.
I'd like to add, because the follow-on question is typically, well, does it have a negative impact on the margins generated by customer? As the bandwidth is higher and we're charging a higher price, the higher costs that we have for the product on our end side is actually offset. So that is a neutral move. If TV comes to the equation, actually it's a margin upside.
Okay, okay. Kind of understand it a bit, but if I could just confirm what I understood. If I exclude the TV part, and then if I just look at the pure voice aspect, then technically even 2014, I should still be seeing at least flat to mildly positive growth if I exclude the impact of the various technologies you talked about.
I mean, in general, it's the case. I would really recommend if you contact me on investor.relations@sunrise.net, and we can discuss that offline in more detail, because we now go very specifically into access technologies and how they basically have impact on ARPUs and margins, which basically in landline and evolving in landline will change over the future, because technologies are changing. There are different VDSL technologies, fiber technologies. So I would recommend that we take that offline, that discussion.
Understood. That we know that not be a problem. And just one last one before I go back in queue. On some of the recent reports of the exit proposal or exit plans of CVC, is there something which you could probably share with us on the call, or is it still
on the plans of CVC, you mean?
Yeah, plans of CVC at this stage.
Well, of course, we can't really comment on that one as we are not CVC. Nevertheless, there's no change to the overall picture. Yeah. So as you know, there are typical investment cycles. So clearly, Sunrise as an investment is probably in its second half. And of course, CVC is looking at all of the different options, but there's no concrete measure to be sent today.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel the request, please press the hash key. That's star 1 to ask a question. Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Usman Ghazi. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the question. Can I just ask on your SAC and SRC comments? I mean, you saw SAC is quite low for the fourth quarter. I mean, is this a trend that you expect to see for the market? Given I know in Q3, I think there was a comment made that you're seeing some competitors being very aggressive with SAC and SRCs, and I think the reference was to Orange, maybe. Have you seen any more rationality on that front in the market, or is this just a temporary phenomenon?
Well, as a matter of fact, we still observe that there is a bit of pressure on that element. Nevertheless, we have not reacted on our end side, and we still are not seeing that there's a major negative impact on us not reacting to it. So we think that with the improved position that we have in the market space, customers are not only looking at the hardware price as a standalone item to be the single driver of the decision. So I think in general we are benefiting from all of the investments that we have done last year into a couple of different programs. So from that end side, yes, there is still a bit of change and a bit of movement. We haven't followed because we don't sense it's actually driving a performance upside for us at this point in time. And we also have not seen that we are heavily negatively impacted. So from that end side, yes, there's market movement, but it's not largely impacting us.
Okay, and just related to that, can I ask on... network investments, when I look at some of the other markets, obviously it takes a bit of time for that to translate into, you know, consumer perception of the brand. I mean, has consumer perception caught up with the fact that you've made all these investments and the network quality is better, or is that a process that will come through in 2014?
Well, it is definitely a process. It will take some more time, but we had a head start with the Connect results end of last year, and that is pretty much an accelerator for the perception in people's mind, and it's seen as a objective, if you want, review, and from that end side, the good result that we had there is positively reflected and is really a head start for us in this perception race. Mm-hmm. And we are expecting more to come, for sure.
Okay. Great, thanks. If I could just ask two more questions, if that's okay. I mean, on, I think you made a comment on TV that the if a customer takes a TV product, there's margin upside. I mean, is that I would have thought, on TV, the margin because of content investments or whatever it is end up being lower in percentage terms. Can you confirm that, or is that a misunderstanding on my part? And then the second question was just on. I appreciate your view that, you know, Liberty Global will use mobile as a defensive strategy, but given that their broadband market share is fairly high in Switzerland, even if they were to use mobile as a defensive strategy, using a cheap mobile price, if there's a big overlap between, you know, your customer base and Liberty, you could still stand to have some headwind on your mobile subscriber base. So just would be interested to get your views on that. Thank you.
Yeah. So firstly, on the TV, yes, we can confirm that from an EBITDA perspective, there is a positive contribution, not a large one, but there is a positive contribution from the TV edition. And on the second one, it's very difficult for me to really comment on what is the impact on the Cablecom offer without having seen it. So on that end side, all that we have seen so far and what we are expecting, we are not expecting a large impact. It's true that, of course, in many of the regions where they are operating, there is some overlap, but not only with us and also with others. So it will actually depend on very much on what is the offer that we are talking about. I think one challenge that clearly Cablecom will need to overcome is the distribution one, because they are not really strongly present. They don't have a large network of own shops, so hardware distribution will be a bit of a challenge. But nevertheless, we haven't seen the offer, so it's very difficult to really comment what the impact will look like. We are not expecting it to be a huge one right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions from the phone lines.
Oh, we just see that there's one further. We take this one as the last question.
Okay, lovely. Thank you, sir. Your next question comes from the name of Stephanie Iam. Please ask your question.
Hi there. I was just wondering if you would consider optimizing your debt structure, given that some instruments are callable later this year.
From a return on investment point of view, that is rather unlikely unless interest rates are coming down substantially furthermore. So we are not anticipating that to happen.
Okay, thank you.
All right, with this one, I would like to close the investor call for this time. Thank you very much for your time spent with us this afternoon, and looking forward talking to you for the Q1 results. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now all disconnect.